Hey you guys, welcome back to the Vain Podcast. It's Verisha. I know it's been a hot little minute since I have made an episode. I was sick for a week and then it turned into 2 weeks and then life caught up to me. So much is going on at work, so much is going on in my personal life. So I just really haven't had the time, but I haven't forgot about you guys. Over these past few weeks, I have been thinking like, damn, what will be a really good topic to, you know, talk about? And I happened to come across the series on Netflix, When They See Us by Ava DuVernay. I think that's how you say it, but y'all know who I'm talking about the Central Park 5 case, the jogger case. And I was like, damn, that'll be a perfect thing to talk about. So I started to just do my research on the case and I watched the series and I've been following things on Twitter and Instagram and just so many different resources online. I've been reading about it and it's just crazy. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Of course, like always, I want to hear you guys' feedback. I want to hear you guys' opinion on it. How did that make you feel when you saw the series? And just, you know, how do you think everything's going to unfold now that it's really out in the media, especially for our generation? I'm not going to lie, I had never even heard about this story until the Netflix series. And this happened in 1989. And, you know, all these years later, there's now a Netflix series about it, or it's just a 4-part series, but you know, now there's a show about it on Netflix and it's wild. You know, it's been brought back to the limelight and social media, everyone has been going crazy now that we've got a chance to hear the story. So for those who are unfamiliar with the case, it is about a lady who was raped and beaten in the woods in Central Park, New York, and 5 young black men were convicted of the crime. Their names are Yusef Salam, Kevin Richardson, Antoine McRae, Raymond Santana Jr., and Corey Wise. And, yeah, the case is just so, so unfortunate. They were coerced by the police to confess to these crimes that they did not commit. And, I mean, there was so much evidence that proved that they were not the perpetrator, that they were not the person who did this crime to this lady, but they were convicted because of their coerced confessions. And you know, it's so sad. They spent between 5 and 14 years in jail. Corey Wise spent like 13 years and 8 months, so pretty much 14 years in jail. And like I said, it's just so, so sad. It opened up my eyes. And you know, some people will say, why did it take this case or watching the series to make me, I guess, woke? But, you know, I really don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I guess every day on the news, we see stuff. People are getting convicted of rape. People are killing people. The police are killing people. There's crime. There's drugs. This happens every day in the world. And unfortunately, I have held no real connection with hearing these stories. Of course, I'm always apologetic. I'm always sympathizing with the stories I hear, but nothing ever really touched or moved me that much. And I'm saying that in the most genuine way. All the stories are sad that we hear. They're all very unfortunate. They all matter. But as far as moving me to make me do further research and to make me really question the world that we live in and the system, it didn't happen until I heard this story. You know, and it really just woke me up. I swear, after I saw the series, my mind has just been different since then. I was doing some research and I had came across a website called The Innocence Project. And the website is just full of cases of people who were wrongfully convicted and exonerated. But some of these people were exonerated after 35, 36, 37, 38 years. Like, so it's great that they're out now, but they spent so much time in jail for a crime that they didn't commit. And I just find it so, so wild. I think it's really personal just because it could have been anyone. You know, it really, really, really could have been anyone. And, you know, when you read these cases and you learn about them, the flaws are right there in your face. And you just wonder, how did they still get convicted? I had came across this one case on the Innocence Project. It is about a man named Malcolm Alexander who served 38 years in jail because he was falsely accused of raping a woman who couldn't even see her rapist. This woman had owned a boutique. The boutique was new. It was an antique store. She owned an antique store that was brand new. And a black man came in the store and raped her from behind in the bathroom. And she had no opportunity to see this man, besides knowing that he was black, but no opportunity to see his face and to see any real features about him. And she still pointed him out to be the perpetrator, the person who did this to her, and he served time. He always maintained his innocence, but, you know, the police and this victim thought that he was the one, and, you know, they ran with the description of him being a black male, and he just happened to fit the case, and they took it, and they ran with it. And what was even more unfortunate about his case was that he had a lawyer that he had hired and paid, and his lawyer was just, I don't want to say he was a sketchy lawyer, but he wasn't showing up to the cases, the court dates. He wasn't, you know, further researching the information that was presented. He was just not doing his part at all, which also helped in Malcolm Alexander being convicted. But this is just one of several cases that have happened that, you know, where people are being wrongfully convicted and there's nothing that they can do about it. You know, of course, some of these cases have happened years ago. So it's like DNA testing then compared to DNA testing now is so different. But it's just, how do we beat it? How can a person say that they're innocent and, you know, have a case that is fair, have a case that tries to prove their innocence? I feel like so many cases focus on trying to prove guilt instead of proving innocence, and it sucks. It's so unfortunate to hear, and it's even more unfortunate when it's just like, you know, that this person's helpless, especially when people can't afford representation, they can't afford a lawyer, they can't afford someone to help them prove their innocence. All they have is the system against them and a victim against them. And I'm never saying that the victim doesn't have the right to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The right to know, I guess, that they're the person who hurt them or whatever the case may be. They deserve peace. They deserve justice. Absolutely. That's what I was looking for. Justice. They deserve justice just as much as anyone else, but so does the people that's being wrongfully accused. I read another case on the Innocence Project about a man named Joseph Abbott, who was found guilty because he was misidentified. He even had a reliable alibi. His employer went to court and testified for him that he was at work, but for whatever reason, his trial took place 4 years later. His employer didn't have his time card to really prove that he was at work, and based on that right there, he was convicted. And, you know, it just sucks because, again, he was misidentified. I came across a statistic, or I think this is not even, I don't know if statistic is the right word, but I came across a little fun fact that's not so fun in this particular situation, but it says that 75% of wrongful convictions are by people being misidentified. And it's just like, you know, where are we falling short? Who's really dropping the ball here? Another one of the things I read was that, hold on, let me find it really quick because it was so interesting to read, because it made so much sense, but I can't find it, but it was basically saying how people who have been in, damn, I cannot find it, and I do not want to reword it the wrong way, but it was something of the sort how we, or not we, but women or men, whoever are in these situations, how they are basically pressured to identify someone. And at those times where they're at a lineup and there's, you know, 5, 6, however many men or women in front of them, they're pressured to pick someone. And the police is basically giving them these features about a person that they want them to identify, and they end up identifying the wrong person. You know, and it's really easy to convince yourself that you can recognize someone. I mean, think about all the times that you've been in the store somewhere and you you see someone who looks familiar, you really don't know them, but you've convinced yourself, like, I know them from somewhere, you know? So you could only imagine how it works in the criminal justice field, or how it works in the system when someone gets arrested and they're being wrongfully identified as the person who did this crime. So it's just really, really sad. Fortunately for the people in the Central Park 5 case, for the men in the Central Park 5 case, they were granted a $41 million settlement from the state of New York, as well as a $52 million settlement. But from constant interviews that I've watched, they keep saying the money means little to nothing to them. You know, the money can't bring back the time that they missed. They missed their youth. They were between the ages of 14 and 16. And like I said, they spent between 5 and 13 and a half, 14 years in jail. So they missed so much of their youth. They missed biggest days of their life, their 21st birthday, for some of them their 16th birthday, their 18th birthday, going to college, graduating high school, everything. I mean, memories that could have been made with their families and their friends, they missed, you know, milestones that they would have approached in their life, they missed out on because of this wrongful conviction. What's even more unfortunate is that our current president, Donald Trump, was a huge contributing factor to their he was a huge contributing factor to their conviction back in 1989. He paid, I want to say, I actually don't want to lie about this number, so just give me 1 second to find it really quick. Oh, he paid $85,000 for an advertisement to say, bring back the death penalty, bring back our police, with a whole bunch of bullshit written underneath that. And, you know, it's crazy because there's people in hierarchy that have this power where they could say or do one thing and they have so many people who support them, so many people who trust and believe in them, and minds and opinions are altered and shifted based on what one person said, you know? And it's just crazy how these were five young, innocent Black boys whose lives and freedom were taken from them, not only because the police coerced them to lying, but because we have someone like Donald Trump who just knew he had the power to say something that would encourage people to believe these boys were wrong. You know, since watching the When They See Us series on Netflix, I have just had a profound, like, just feeling for what's really going on in our world, in our criminal justice system, in our government, you know, the question of who can we really trust. And, you know, if we, sometimes it's like, can you even trust your lawyer? You know, when people are really innocent, who is backing them up? You know, like, who do we have to support? If we're really innocent and, you know, we're not supposed to be here at trial, we're not supposed to be here in this courtroom because we didn't do it, who the fuck is backing them up? You know, so it's unfortunate. And I just feel like, since watching it, I want to contribute to the change. I graduated from college back in December with my paralegal degree. And the whole time I was in school, I kept saying, oh, I don't want to be a lawyer. Every time someone asked if I was going to further after I was finished with paralegal and try to go be a lawyer, I kept saying, no, like, that's just not for me. I don't think that, it will work out. I don't want to do it. It's a lot of school, you know, but now I feel like I'll do whatever it takes to make a difference. You know, even if it's not being a lawyer, I'll do whatever it takes to get to the right places to help make a difference, you know, because it's sad. It could really be any one of us. It could be myself. It could be my brother. It could be my friends. It could be really anyone, you know, but the fact of the matter is, it seems like young Black men and women, but predominantly young Black men are targeted, and you know, they have no voice, and someone has to have a voice for them. And And just, it's a very hurtful, even talking about it right now, I just feel like I'm getting choked up because it's so just wild, you know? There's so many stories out there that we don't hear about where people were wrongfully convicted. There's so many stories where people, you know, spent life and died in jail over something they didn't do, you know? So it's just, it's, I have to just keep saying it's unfortunate, you know, but I'm going to help make a change. You know, I hope that we all can help make a change. If you haven't seen the series on Netflix, it's called When They See Us. I hope it doesn't get taken down anytime soon because everyone needs to see it. Whether you're a believer of the situation or not, everyone needs to see it. Everyone should take a moment whenever they get one to look up the Innocence Project and read on some cases and really try to find a connection there. Try to really open up your mind and connect to these stories and understand that, yes, it's not you, so it's really hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes and really sympathize with them or for them, but it's happening and it happens every day. And you know, we just need to all contribute to making the difference in our community, especially in our Black community. There are so many things that's going on, but our justice system is not really a justice system. And I think once we acknowledge that as young Black people, we'll be able to go much further in life. But the number one thing is we have to educate ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. We have to know our rights. We have to stand for something or else we'll fall for anything, you know? And so I just feel like that was something that my mom and dad used to always tell me growing up. You have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And I just always thought it was just something that they would say as parents. But it took me to being adult to really understand what the saying meant and to really believe in it. And, you know, again, it's unfortunate that it took 2019, me watching a series on Netflix, for me to be moved and changed. But whatever it takes, you know, someone still hasn't reached that point and they're still looking for, they're still looking for that connection to feel the way that I feel right now. But no matter how long it takes, whenever that moment comes for you where you feel like, I want there to be a difference in the world that I live in. I want there to be a difference in, you know, the justice system. I want there to be a difference in my community. When you reach that moment, take the steps. You know, any step is a step. You know, any step is progression. Any step is, you know, it's one step ahead of where you were at before. And I just feel like, you know, we have to do something. We have to come together. And, you know, my voice may not be heard by everyone that needs to be heard by, but hopefully it's heard by one person who can relate to how I'm feeling, how moved and touched I'm feeling by the story. I know I kind of just ranted all around about everything regarding the case and the other cases I spoke on, but you know, my opinion all in all is really just that we need to be educated and we really need to know our rights and we really need to you know, stand up for ourselves, but in a civil way. And not just that, but we need to be smarter. You know, we need to do our own research. We need more Black lawyers. We need more Black doctors. We need more Black engineers. The Black community needs to step the fuck up, you know, honestly. And I say that in the most genuine way, in the most respectful way, not to tear down any other community or any person when they hear this, but we need to step the fuck up, you know. We need to really do something different. We need to make a change, but to make a change, you have to be a part of it. You know, so I don't know. Going forward, I'm going to continue to read these cases, and I plan on going back to school. Again, I don't know if I'm going to go back for a lawyer, but I definitely am going to stay in the legal field and just see what change I can make, you know, even if it's writing a letter to someone of hierarchy and, you know, presenting them with a case that they've never heard of. We have to try something, you know. We have to do something different. We have to make a change. We have to make a step towards it. You know, we have to really be engaged. You know, a lot of people don't vote. A lot of people aren't aware of the stuff that's happening in our world politically. A lot of people, and when I mean people, I'm talking about Black people right now. a lot of Black people aren't following what's going on in our life. You know, it seems like we have social media, and social media is a great outlet. Social media is great, but I feel like it is not being used resourcefully. It's being used, I feel like it's honestly being abused. You know, we use social media to post pictures of ourselves, to make posts about things, to repost things, but we're never really talking about the things that really matter. And so, again, I hope that this video, if it can reach one person that can relate to what I'm saying right now, and, you know, with hopes that they'll use their platform differently. You know, even if you have 500 followers, you can make a post about something that is educational to yourself and to your followers, and you might reach one person who may be interested in researching whatever you posted, and it can keep going on from there, you know. But I just definitely think we have to use our platforms more wisely, and we just have to really communicate with one another, back each other up, support each other. The Black community is suffering right now, you know, and it's not talked about enough. And if it is talked about, it's not talked about in the media enough. It's not talked about on social media enough. It's, we really need to back each other up and support each other and really just, you know, acknowledge what's going on around us and prepare for what's going on around us. So I'll leave you guys with that. Again, if you guys want to read some cases about men and women that were wrongfully convicted and then exonerated, you can go to theinnocenceproject.com, I believe. Let me confirm what I'm putting out there. Oh no, it's theinnocenceproject.org, and you'll be presented with so many cases that you can literally click on and print off and read. And that's what I've been doing, just printing off cases and highlighting them and reading about them and, you know, learning about situations. And there's the common denominator in each situation is that these people weren't backed up by anyone. You know, they were manipulated by the system, and they had no one really behind them saying that they were innocent. You know, it was just their word against someone else's word, and the someone else was always stronger. Their defense, their representation was always stronger than the actual person who was innocent, you know. And so far, all the cases that I've read for the Innocence Project, none of them have been compensated for their time in jail, you know. And it's, again, my favorite word of the day, unfortunate, because all these men were spent time in jail for crimes they didn't commit. So if you guys are interested in reading on some of these cases and trying to help make a difference, visit innocenceproject.org. And, you know, if you haven't seen the story about the Central Park 5 jogger case, go on Netflix and watch When They See Us by Ava DuVernay. I'll learn how to say her last name one day. And yeah, message me and let me know how you guys felt about that movie. I mean, that series. And, if you have some situations that are similar to this that you know about that you want to chat about, I would love to hear it. Like I said, this situation really opened up a different side of my mind that I didn't even know existed. It made me have a abundant amount of respect for these men, but also for the millions of people that I don't know that go through these situations. And it really made me want to contribute to making a difference and changing, especially for the Black community. So yeah. I'll see you guys next time. Hopefully I don't get sick and I can, you know, keep my episodes coming. And, you know, hit me up on Twitter at VYCXOXO with, you know, your opinions about today's episode. And follow me on Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram at CVarisha. And we can, again, chat about this and we can talk about how we can make a difference together. And, yeah, I look forward to chatting with you guys, and I'll see you guys next time.